Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the first verse of the gospel reading. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." You may be seated. Dear saints, as language changes over time, occasionally a word that we are familiar with changes its nuance or even its meaning in the minds of our culture. One of those words, I think, just might be the word follow. It's a very common word in the social media world. If you follow someone or their page, it means you like what they are putting out on Facebook or TikTok or whatever it is. Posts from the pages you follow are more likely to appear in your news feed. That's what you want, since you desire to see more from that particular person. But even outside of social media, we may follow a sports team or a celebrity or a particular financial advisor or even a favorite recipe site. Following tends to mean simply that we have some level of interest in whatever it is we are following. That interest can go up and down with our mood, of course. We may follow a sports team when they're doing well, but when they're not doing so well, then maybe we don't look as much. On social media, of course, we always have the option to unfollow should our interests or our tastes change, or if that page isn't producing the kind of content we like anymore. Jesus gives Philip a very simple invitation in our gospel reading. Follow me. A more literal translation into English might be following me. For following Jesus is not just a one-time event. It's a lifetime commitment. The disciples that we hear about in this morning's gospel reading were likely followers or disciples of John the Baptist. But once John had baptized Jesus, he had no more need of followers. The Messiah that he had announced to be coming was now here. John had one job left, simply to point people to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John's followers became Jesus' followers. Do you suppose that Jesus' first disciples knew what they were getting into? Well, they believed that he was the one. They believed he was the Messiah, as we heard from Nathanael's own mouth this morning. As they followed him, they would see him do amazing things, the least of which was Jesus seeing Nathanael under the fig tree before he had even met him. His followers would see far greater things than this. Not only would they see Jesus' many miracles, but they would hear his profound teaching, because Jesus spoke as one with authority, not as the other teachers of his day. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were mostly interested either in outward ceremonies or outward piety, outward displays of their goodness, and not concerned with people's hearts or with their need for a Savior. But those who followed Jesus, though they might not have had the full picture, they understood Jesus differently. And Jesus gives the same invitation to us, and to every person, really, that he gave to Philip: follow me. But what does it look like for us to follow Jesus? We're not able to walk where Jesus walked. We're not able to ply him with our many questions as they come to our minds and have him tell us the answer from his very lips. We follow by faith, not by sight. Faith that what God says to us in his word in Holy Scripture is right and true and worthy of our attention. Consider our epistle reading, where Paul gives some guidance for being Jesus' followers. If ever you think God's word is too abstract or too intellectual or too difficult to understand, here is a counterexample to that belief Paul's words are very practical. To be a follower of Jesus means to not become obsessed with the things of this life. He gives the example of food. Food is one of the many idols in our time. We have so-called foodies wherever you look. Many of us like to try new and exciting foods from various cultures. Every other picture on Facebook seems to be one of food. How many food competition shows are there on Netflix? Gluttony is rampant in our country. Food is good. We need it. And I dare say our Lord wants us to enjoy this gift that he gives us. But food and our own stomachs will one day be destroyed, as Paul says. These things are temporary. An even greater danger lies, Paul says, in sexual immorality, which Paul urges us to flee from. And lest we think that Paul is only speaking about prostitution, he expands his definition of sexual immorality when he reminds us God's words in the book of Genesis, "The two shall become one flesh." This is a description of marriage between one man and one woman. Any sexual activity of the body or of the mind or of the heart outside the bond of public marriage is a violation of the sixth commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." And Paul's words against gluttony and against sexual immorality are really warnings against idolatry in all its forms. Taking what is given by God as good and twisting it, turning it into a false god, believing the evil in our own hearts rather than the good word of the Lord. This is not what followers of Jesus are to be like. Since followers of Jesus were bought with the price of Christ's very own blood, we are to honor God with our bodies. In the book of Samuel, we are given an example, another example of followers. Followers do not just hear the word of God with our ears, but we are to listen to God's word, to put it into practice. We hear of the old priest Eli. He had been a priest for many years, but his eyes had grown dim, which was no doubt true of his physical eyes, but is also something of a metaphor for his lack of zeal for the Lord. He lets his sons dishonor the temple. He himself seems to lack any real desire or fervor for the things of God. He heard the word of God, but one wonders how well he listened to it. In contrast, we see young Samuel, eager, desirous to hear the voice of the Lord, but not only to hear it, but to listen to what the word of the Lord says and to do it. Very quickly after our reading, he would be called by the Lord to deliver some bad news to Eli, and he did it. Throughout his long tenure as prophet and judge over God's people, Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, and he told others. He listened. Very reminiscent of the words of St. James, who tells us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." But in our age, we have many things, many voices, many influencers who want us to be their followers. Many of these things are relatively harmless or innocent, but they can distract. Distraction seems to be rampant in our day and age. We hear something or we see something that causes us worry or anxiety, or perhaps excitement that we've found something new and wonderful. We salivate at each headline or conspiracy theory that seems to confirm our own biases. Such things, especially as they pile up one on top of each other, can cause us to become distracted from what's actually important. Jesus can be just one of the many things that we follow instead of the main thing. Like Adam and Eve, who feared missing out on something if they didn't follow the voice of the serpent, we don't want to miss out on the many things that this life seems to tempt us with. Surely we can follow other voices and ideas and follow Jesus when it's convenient, we reason. Danger, of course, is that like Judas, we would become so enamored with the things of this world that we would unfollow our Lord. Following Christ is not something that we are able to do under our own power. Our sin-filled bodies and minds are simply too weak. You can't just click a button on a web page to follow Jesus. Instead, he has called you to follow him. And he gives you the faith and the promises of your baptism to be and to remain his followers. I'm sure as we read about those first disciples in John chapter 1, they had no idea what following Jesus would finally mean. It would mean following him to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, following him to the upper room for the Last Supper, following him to Gethsemane and seeing him agonize over what was about to happen. And then sadly, for the most part, not following him as he was arrested and tried and scourged and mocked and crucified. Where were his followers then? During Lent, we follow Jesus on this same path, the path to the cross. It is an annual journey that we make because we need to constantly be reminded that at the cross, the content of Jesus' prophecies and all of his word is fulfilled there. And this path leads to the empty tomb, where we see a glimpse of what being a follower of Jesus ultimately means. It leads to our own resurrection and eternal life with him. Following Jesus leads down a path out of the anxieties and worries and troubles and sin of this world to peace and perfection with God. Like the disciples, we tend to not always be the best followers. Like the disciples, we might question what God tells us. When we hear a word from God that we find difficult to carry out or perhaps inconvenient, we may choose to ignore it or run the other way. We, like the disciples, assume that affliction and difficulty and persecution are to be avoided at all costs, ignoring the words of Jesus, "Take up your cross and follow me." We can become bored or indifferent or lazy in our following. Other things are, frankly, more interesting to follow. But we should take comfort that our Lord's invitation to us doesn't just happen once, but constantly throughout our lives. Constantly, Jesus invites us, "Follow me." St. Peter, in one of the most dramatic displays of unfollowing, denied even knowing Jesus after his arrest. But after the resurrection, Jesus forgives Peter, and in John 21:19 utters again that most beautiful invitation to Peter, simply, "Follow me." And so it is with us. As we are turned in repentance, Jesus forgives our distraction. He forgives our feigned following. He forgives our lack of zeal and our lukewarm attitude toward his word, and bids us again and again to be where he is, to desire what he desires, to go where he goes. Thanks be to God that Jesus says to us, "Follow me." In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.